Good morning. Hey, welcome to Asbury, and welcome to the coolest worship space that we have right now. It's good to see all of you guys here as we are combining our two 10:45 services. So thank you for being with us this morning. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury. Pastor Dee Dee is there in the back, and we certainly do welcome you. If you're visiting with us today, first of all, welcome home. We're excited to have you here at Asbury and part of our family. We do ask that if you would, as these friendship pads, attendance pads, whatever you want to call them, make their way around. If you're visiting, just jot down a little bit of information, email, phone number. We'd love to tell you about all the wonderful things we have going on here at Asbury and in this community of faith. Two quick announcements before we get worship started. Number one, I talked last week about the cottage meetings. If you were here, we have the dates and times for those lined out. They'll get sent out to you Monday or Tuesday, and you can sign up for those. We would love to have as close to 100% attendance as possible. We really want to hear from you and why Asbury means so much to you. So it would be a great time for us to get together and do that. There will be plenty of choices throughout the month. Also on July 23rd at 6 p.m., and I'll say this every week, we are going to have a meeting down in the large conference room to talk about our adult Bible study curriculum for the fall. The plan this year is to have a very large and robust group of studies to choose from, but to do that, we need help with leaders who are willing to teach them. If you want to come because you're interested or slightly interested or not interested, but you just want to hear how I run a meeting, come. You're welcome. I would love to talk to you about it. It's at 6 p.m. Tuesday on the 23rd. So with that being said, why don't we take a moment, stand up, extend a hand of grace, and pass the peace to your neighbor. Goes like this.
that the highest King would welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me.
Sing this out.
Who the Son sets free.
Morning, and as you are seated, we will ask our children to come forward for a little children's moment.
Good morning. How are y'all doing this morning? Good? Okay, so what holiday, this is your hint, what holiday did we celebrate this week? 4th of July, that's right. And why do we celebrate the 4th of July? Do we remember our Independence Day, right? We remember how we got independence and how people fought for that freedom and are still fighting for that freedom, right? Okay, so we're going to have a lesson about freedom. So I want all of you to sit on your hands. Sit on your hands. Okay, now, without moving your hands, I want you to clap. Without moving them. Okay. Now, without moving your hands from there where they are, I want you to wiggle your ear. Well, oh, but can you do it with your hand? No.
They're innovative. They're innovative.
Yeah. They're finding the exception to the rule, especially my child. Can y'all do, like, very much with your hands if you're sitting on them? No. So even though we have, like, okay, y'all can not sit on your hands anymore. So now if I asked you to clap, you can clap. And now if I asked you to wiggle your ear with your hand, you can do it, right? So in the Bible, it also talks about how we have freedom. And we don't have freedom because of, we don't have the freedom because of a flag, and we don't have the freedom because we got to not sit on our hands anymore. But we have freedom because of the fact that Jesus died for us. And in the Bible, it talks about how Jesus died for all of us so that we can continue to have freedom in him. And Pastor Deedee's going to talk about that here in a few minutes. So let me close this out in prayer, and then if you are three or four, then you can go with Miss Laura, okay? But I'll pray. Jesus died on the cross. That's right. Okay. Dear God, thank you so much for all that you have given us. Thank you for the gifts that you have given each of us, and thank you for the freedom that we have in you. It is in your name I pray. Amen.
I want you to look around. You know, this is what this room should feel like every Sunday, full of our Asbury family. And it's so exciting to have you over here. If you were traditionally in the sanctuary, you can see how we do things a little different. But here at Asbury, it's definitely not traditional versus contemporary. We're all in this together. We're all one family. I know sometimes it can feel like we're two churches, right? But we're just across the hall. But even though we do things not so traditional in here, it's always Christ-centered. We have a little fun, but we're also very serious, too. So welcome here today. If you don't generally come here, we hope you still have a meaningful service. Please stand and continue to worship with us. Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, till you give yourself away. Four times, it's about what God will do for you. There's nothing he won't. Sing it out, even if you don't know it. Sing this word. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Sing that. There's no shadow. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Yeah. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Keep it going.
Literally, hear these words from Scripture. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another, for the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, I want to thank those of you who are usually in the sanctuary at this hour for your flexibility. But I also want to say that you will be glad you're here and not there, because the temperature has climbed from about 81 at 8:30 and was 86 when we decided that we needed to come in here. So at any rate, thank you for the flexibility, and those of you who had a role at that service and have so kindly stepped aside, thank you for that too, because I know you spend time preparing. And your ministry is important. So, but here we are all together. And I'm wondering, as we gather all together, what first brought you to church? It might have been your mama who wrapped you in swaddling cloths and put you in a car seat, and you haven't known anything else. It might be that you found your way here through the invitation of a friend. Or perhaps you came on your own, seeking something, and when you arrived at Asbury, you found a welcoming place to continue your quest. For me, it was an invitation of a friend to UMYF. United Methodist Youth Fellowship. And in particular, it happened on a retreat we went on one winter. We were all settling in to watch that great film of the faith, Vincent Price's Wax Museum. You know, on the reel-to-reel. Some of you don't even know about that. Clickety, clackety, clickety, clackety. Anyway, but we were all settled in to watch the movie when the youth pastor came over and said to me, "Scoot over, I want to sit here." And just like that, I felt at home, completely accepted. I felt free all of a sudden to stop trying to earn a place in the youth group, and I could just be myself. That little thing was huge. Christ has set us free, Paul says. Free from the endless demands of trying to measure up to God's glory or trying to make ourselves worthy of God's blessing. Paul says we are free from the law. Specifically, laws that demand payment for our place in God's good graces. Laws that tell us what to drink or what to eat. Laws that say exactly what we can wear or think. Laws that supply a specific list of do's and don'ts in order that we might belong to the God squad. But Paul reminds us that in Christ, all debts, all sin is forgiven. And all are free to enter into the kingdom of life and love that God has opened up through the power and ministry of Jesus Christ. In Christ, it is as if God has come directly to each and every one of us and said, "Scoot over. I've decided to sit right here next to you." This kind of radical grace is sometimes hard for us to accept. The notion that we are free, completely free, is scary because freedom brings with it power and responsibility. Not long ago, I read the story of a young man who escaped from a Cambodian death camp. It seems that one day as he was working, he looked up into the sky and over his head flew a bird. And he thought to himself that that bird was doing exactly what God had created it to do. And then it dawned on him that he was not meant to live in captivity. And that if he stayed, he would die. And if he ran for it, he might die. But at least he would know that he died doing what he was created to do. So the next morning, just before dawn, he made a run for it. He dashed out through the gates. The guards couldn't catch him. The bullets missed him. And he found freedom. Now, as I recall, as he reflected on his decision, he said this: "Being free is the most powerful thing a man or woman will ever experience. Nothing can stop you if you're free. The circumstances of life don't mean much. The threat of death means nothing because you can do anything, anything if you're free." He got it. He got the message that Paul was trying to preach to the Galatians, the power of freedom that Paul was begging them not to squander when he said, "Stand fast. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." It seems that the Galatians had a trust problem. They were more willing to trust in the rituals and rules of their former religions than they were to trust in Christ. To put it mildly, freedom scared them. And so they were misusing their power by judging and arguing and accusing one another. Strife, jealousy, anger, dissension, envy, and greed had all replaced the joy and freedom that they had first experienced through the good news of Jesus Christ. And the irony is that they were free to act that way. The sadness is that in acting without love, they were becoming slaves again to the sins from which they had been set free. You see, freedom in Christ is first and foremost freedom to love. It isn't about rules or right rituals. It is about loving others as we ourselves have been loved. I am grateful every day that as a young teen, I discovered that love in a youth group that made a place for me, and a youth pastor who somehow squeezed the gospel into the empty spaces of our lives. And ever since, I've just wanted to make that kind of gospel space for others, the same kind that was made for me. For that young man in that Cambodian death camp, he saw freedom in a bird flying overhead and realized that he too was meant to soar. And so for the rest of his life, he used his freedom to speak out against genocide and to try to help those who had survived genocide wherever they had lived to live full and healthy and healed lives. For freedom has no boundaries. True freedom cannot be contained in a rule or ritual. True freedom does not belong to me or mine. Rather, true freedom always leads to love. To love your neighbor as yourself. To think in terms of we and ours and us. So it is that true freedom allows us to see ourselves as connected to one another because we are connected in Christ. This week, we've all celebrated our freedom as citizens of this great country. We fired up our grills for a feast, and we lit up the night sky with beautiful reminders that we are free. Reminders that caused us to lie on the ground and say, ooh, ah. And I hope that not one of us passed the day without giving thanks for the blessing of our freedom. So today we gather again to celebrate freedom. A feast has been prepared. And all are invited to come as sinners to the gospel feast, forgiven, saved, debts paid, with a God who has promised to draw near so that we can leave this place and tell a world that is waiting to know you belong. You are a child of God. God just wants to sit right there with you. Let the church say, Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, your grace is inexplicable, and your love is absolutely amazing. When we become overwhelmed by the bigness of it all, help us not to trade it for something smaller and more comfortable, but instead, help us to use our freedom to dare to fall into the deep abyss of your love and therefore be empowered to witness to your love to others. To offer grace, to set aside rules and regulations for the sake of bringing others into fellowship, where rules and regulations can be taught later. Oh Lord, bless us to know the power of our freedom, to not fall back into slavery, but to continually risk, because we believe in the deepest parts of our being that indeed nothing, not even death, can separate us from your love. It is that kind of risk-taking, powerful faith that allows us to grow and live in joy. And so we give you thanks. Amen. Now, as we receive our tithes and offerings, we do so in that spirit of risk-taking generosity. We are free, friends. We can give anything, do anything, risk anything for the sake of the gospel, because God has given it all to us. Holy God, receive these gifts of our tithes and offerings. Let them be to you a symbol of our belief and trust in you. And above all else, take them, multiply them, and use them for the sake of your kingdom. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
God bless America.
Amen. We've talked so much this morning about freedom and freedom in Christ. Part of that type of freedom is sacrifice, and we all know that, and especially if we have any military members or anybody who's related to military members, you're aware of that. And as Christians, that's easy for us because we understand what it means to sacrifice, because our great teacher was the embodiment of sacrifice. So as we come to the table this morning in Holy Communion, we remember that sacrifice, and we remember what Christ calls us to do today in the world. So as we move through the communion liturgy, which will be up on the screen for your response, let's keep our hearts and minds centered on that. Christ our Lord invites you to his table, all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Let us offer another signs of reconciliation and love. As forgiven and reconciled people, let us offer ourselves and our gifts to God. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. On that final night, unbeknownst to everybody else but Christ, before this ultimate sacrifice, our great teacher had one lesson still to give to his disciples. So as they gathered for dinner in the upper room, Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks to God, and he broke it. Gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, our Savior took the cup. He gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, drink. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray. Almighty God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed in his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ returns in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, we praise you, God, and give thanks, now and forever. Amen. In the United Methodist Church, we practice a completely open table. All are welcome to come and participate in communion and to participate in this most sacred of sacraments. Those that are helping with communion today, I'm going to go ahead and ask you to come forward, if you would. What I'm going to do is I'm going to serve the band first so they can get back up and play a song, and then the ushers will bring you all up as well.
Oh, how could it be that my God would welcome me into this mystery? Say, take this bread, take this wine, now the simple made divine, for any to receive. By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you. And remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your
trial we will face, and none too lost to be saved, none too broken or ashamed, all are welcome in this place. By your mercy we come to your table, by your grace you are making us faithful, Lord.
It has been just a blessing being with all of you this morning. I figured out the one thing I like about being a pastor, better than all other. I get to take communion multiple times on a Sunday. And John Wesley, founder of Methodist Faith, said, take communion as often as you can. So if you find yourself in multiple services here on a Sunday morning, come on up. The table is always open. As you leave this place, may you serve your God with patience and passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that works within you, and may peace be your way in the world. Go in peace.